All right. Good morning, everyone. And we are going to be talking this morning from our series on biblical keys. This morning's message is called The Life Overcome. That's the title of this message, Life Overcome. So we will be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 to 27. If you can please turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 to 27. Verse 24, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Father, we just pray that you would be with us as we are reading from your word and as we expound from your word. We pray, God, that you would be with us this morning and help us, God, to understand the things that are spiritual, open our eyes and address the things that are in our hearts, and help us, God, to draw closer to you this morning, we pray. And we pray, Father, that you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit as we hear your word. And God, we pray that you would be with us and keep us away from all distractions this morning and help us, God, to concentrate on your word. Amen. Have you ever watched the gymnastics in Olympics and almost in disbelief and thought, how on earth can they do that? It seems impossible. Whether you watch a figure skating performer, a quad jump, you know, it's a quad jump. They do complete revolutions of four times, complete revolutions. Or a young gymnast in gymnastics on a narrow 4-inch balance beam doing a series of backflips one after the other. We ask in amazement, how can they possibly do that? Well, the answer isn't rocket science. It is practice, 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 practice. Developing the habit of doing a simple half turn again and again and again until it feels natural, until it can be done in a sense without thinking. This morning, we are talking about biblical keys on dealing with habits and addictions. Biblical keys on dealing with habits and addictions. First, let's deal with the definitions. What are habits and addictions? It is very critical that we learn all the important differences between habits and addictions, because you control the one while the other controls you. I want to say three important things about habits. First one, habits are learned patterns of behavior or attitudes repeated so often that they become typical of a person. I'll repeat that again. Habits are learned patterns of behavior or attitudes repeated so often that they become typical of a person. In the New Testament, the Greek word mantano means to learn or to get into the habit. Paul uses this word in his letter to Titus in Titus chapter 3, verse 14. Titus chapter 3, verse 14. And let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. The word for learn here is the Greek word mantan. What Paul is saying here is that as a Christian, we must learn to maintain good works. Or in other words, we must learn to create a habit. We must create a habit of maintaining good works. As a Christian, your habit should be that of maintaining good works. So, first one, what are habits? Habits are learned behaviors, learned patterns of behavior or attitude repeated so often that it becomes your nature, right? Number two, habits are based upon thinking. They reflect the heart. Habits are based on thinking. They reflect the heart. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 10, the writer says this. He's talking about God here, and he says, therefore, I was angry with the generation and said, they always go astray in their heart and they have not known my ways. So God is saying here that they have always gone astray in their heart and they have not known his ways. The word for ways here is the word hodos, which is basically metaphorically used. It means your conduct or your way of thinking. In a way, it talks about your habits. So habits are based on thinking. They reflect what is in your inner man, right? Who you are truly inside in you is reflected in your habits. Based upon the habits you have, we can say who you are truly in the inner man. So number three, habits are good and bad. Now, habits can be good and bad. When based on trusting God, habits can result in consistently being on the right path, right? In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. In verse 6, in all your ways, the Hebrew word for the word ways is the word direct. It basically means your habit or the habitual way of your behavior. So basically this verse is saying that in all your habits, acknowledge God and he is going to be the one to direct your path. So there are good habits and there are bad habits. Now, when good habits are based upon the word of God, they can help you draw closer to God and they can lead you in the right path. There are good examples of good habits. For example, reading the word, obeying the word of God, right? In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, the angel of the Lord says to Joshua that this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. So what he is saying is that you have the angel of the Lord is telling Joshua, Joshua, develop a habit of meditating upon the law of God day and night. So reading and obeying the word of God daily is a very good habit. Now we find a lot more of such similar verses in Psalm 119, where the psalmist is writing about the word of God. He says, I will keep your law continually forever. So his goal, his ambition, his habit was to continue to keep the law daily, to read God's word daily. So that is a good habit. Another example of a good habit is your private prayer life. A private prayer life. Like in Luke chapter 5 verse 16, we see that Jesus Christ, it talks about Jesus Christ, that he often would withdraw into lonely places so that he can pray. In Luke chapter 5 verse 16, it says, but he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. So a habit of having a private prayer life. Now, last week we spoke about watching and praying. If Jesus Christ, being God on earth, he was praying, how much more you and I should pray. So having a private prayer life is a very good habit, right? Another good habit is attending church. You know, a lot of times we think that attending church is not something important, but it is a very good habit to make sure that you attend church no matter where you are at, that you would go to church on Sunday morning. Because this is a pattern that we find Jesus Christ followed as well. In Luke chapter 4, verse 16, he says, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, And as was his custom, as was his habit, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. You see, Jesus Christ, being God on earth, had the habit of going to synagogue on every Sabbath day. Now, as a Christian, I can develop this habit of being in church on Sunday morning, no matter what, following the same pattern that Jesus Christ had said. So it is a good habit to be in the church. But there is also bad habits. For example, missing church on Sunday is a bad habit. All right. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, says, not neglecting to meet one another. As is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So the writer here is saying that, listen, there are some people who have the bad habit of missing church, of neglecting the meeting together, right? So there are good habits that can help you stay in the right path, and there are also bad habits that will take you away from the right path and lead you in the wrong path. So good habits, and there are bad habits. So good habit example, we said just now, attending church as the pattern of Jesus Christ was to go to the synagogue on every Sabbath day. He would not miss. That was his habit. But also a bad habit, as we read in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, is that there were people who had the habit of neglecting meeting together, right? So good habits and bad habits. Now, some habits, that there are different kinds of habits that we can find. Now, I want to categorize some of these habits. There are some called, number one, as harmless habits. Harmless habits are common and they do not cause injury to anybody. Okay, they are at best not harmful, and at worst, they irritate others. For example, shaking the leg. You know, have you ever sat next to somebody and all they do is they shake their legs, right? It's a habit that they have, but it might not harm somebody, but it is very irritating. And sometimes people twirl their hair, right? They keep twirling their hair, or belching loudly, or biting nails, right? All these things are bad habits, harmless habits, right? They may not cause injury to others, but they are just very irritating. All right. So we have harmless habits. Secondly, there are heart habits. Now, what are heart habits? When the heart is not right in God's sight, it produces wrong attitudes and emotions that result in ungodly habits. For example, envy, jealousy, pride, right? Lying, ungratefulness, unforgiveness, all these things can be bad behavior or bad habits as well. Remember what Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 15, verse 19. Out of the heart comes evil thoughts, right? So there are heart habits that are based upon the wrong kind of heart. When your heart is evil, you have heart-based bad habits as well. Number three, the third kind of habits, hidden habits. Some habitual actions often are not recognized as harmful, but they are recognized as issues that are hidden. They are definitely negative, right? But sometimes some good behaviors, when they are done to an excess, can become bad habits as well. For example, a hidden habit that could be that is a good behavior but can become a bad behavior is overly apologizing. You remember some people when you meet them, they're always apologizing. They're always saying sorry for this, right? Always apologizing, right? Another hidden habit is Procrastination, right? Procrastination, always saying, I will do it tomorrow, next time, right? Another hidden habit could be cleaning, excessively cleaning things. Now, cleaning things is very important. Maintaining cleanliness around is important. But you can become completely obsessed with cleaning, overly cleaning things, or shopping, or spending. What we call this term as obsessive compulsory disorder. This is what the world calls it as. So these are all hidden habits. They might be good when done to a certain extent, but when you take them extreme, they become bad habits as well. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 18, Solomon says this: it is good to grasp the one and not let go of the other. Whoever fears God will avoid all extremes. I'm quoting from NIV here. It says, whoever fears God will avoid all extremes. So in the context here, Solomon is talking about being too righteous, being too smart, and also being overly wicked and overly foolish. So Solomon is saying, don't try to be too righteous and too smart, and don't be overly wicked and foolish either. But you need to, as a Christian, avoid all extremes. You want to be a very balanced Christian. That is what he is talking about. So that is the third kind of habit, which is, we can call it as hidden habits. Now the fourth and the important one that really shows up outside is the hard habits, or what we can call as well as addictions. Okay, what we can also call as addictions. Now, what are hard habits and addiction? Destructive habits create a damaging climate for everyone around them, right? Making these habits as hard habits. For example, emotional abuse, drunkenness, right? Using vulgar language, violence, using drugs, right? All these things are hard habits or addictions that really cause a damaging, that really cause a great amount of damage to the person and also to the persons around them. So, how do you know whether your habit is turned into an addiction or not? So, as you said, habits can be good, but habits can also be bad. But how do I know when my habits have become bad and they have become addictions, right? These are some few things that you can ask yourself. Are my thoughts consumed with it? Is my time scheduled around this? Could my health be harmed by it? Does my guilt increase because of it? Are my finances affected by it? Am I defensive when I am asked about it? Are my relationships hurt by it? Am I upset when I can't do it? Is my spiritual growth hindered by it? Have I been asked to stop it? Would I discourage my children from doing it? Do I hide it from others? Would Jesus avoid doing it? Does it diminish my witness of Christ? Now, for any of these questions, if you have answered yes, that habit, my friend, has become an addiction in your life. And this morning, I pray that we pray like how David prayed in Psalm 139, verse 23 to 24. David said, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thought. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. So I pray, my friends, this morning, that you would pray this way, that God would reveal to you in the things that are in your heart, habits that you have in you that are becoming addictions, habits that are there in you that are becoming hurtful, right? So that is about habits. The second thing we want to define this morning is addictions. I want to say three things about addictions. Just recapping three things that we said about habits. First, we said habits are learned patterns Second, we said habits are based on thinking. Third, we said habits are good and bad, right? Habits can be good and bad. Now, three things I want to say about addictions as well. What are addictions? Addictions are compulsive, enslaving dependence on something, resulting in detrimental patterns of thinking and behavior, right? So basically what addictions are, it's when you are dependent on something. There are substance addictions, for example, alcohol, tobacco, drugs, and there are process addictions, example, gambling, excessively eating or not eating, shopping, and pornography as well. So in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, Peter says this, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption, by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. So addictions are compulsive. They are enslaving dependencies, right? Peter is saying here, who by what you are overcome, you have become a slave to that, right? In the context here, Peter is talking about corruption. Those who are overcome by corruption have become slaves of corruption. In other words, what Peter is saying here is that you are a slave to anything that controls you, right? So that is what an addiction is. The thing that enslaves you to be dependent upon it. So what's the difference between a habit and an addiction? Now, with any behavior, repetition leads to forming of a habit. And that can develop into an addiction. The difference between a repeated habit and an enslaving addiction is the amount of time it takes from you every day and the amount of power it has over you and the negative impact it has on your life, right? When any bad habit, if it has become your master and you basically have no control on it and you will not be able to say stop, enough, no more, when you have lost the ability to say these things and stop the actions, your habits have become addictions, right? So number one, habits are compulsive. They are enslaving dependencies. Number two, addictive habits are based upon deceitful lusts. Addictive habits are addictions are based upon deceitful lust. They are a result of a corrupt way of life. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, Paul says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. See, the deceitful lust, the deceitful desires is basically what has corrupted your habits, right? The word for your former conduct in the Greek language here is anastrophe, which basically means your behavior, your habits, right? So Paul is saying, put off your old habits, which were based upon deceitful lusts. And as James says in James chapter 1, verse 14, that each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed, when he is pulled away, when he is dragged away by his own evil, deceitful desires and enticed by them. So addictive habits are based upon deceitful desires. Addictions hold people captive under the canopy of darkness. Number three, what are addictions? Addictions usually come in groups. Dual or poly addictions refers to dependence on two or more addictions at the same time. Now, when you know a person is addicted to something, let's say a person is addicted to drugs, most likely that addiction is not the singleness of taking drugs only. It comes with multiple addictions. So usually addictions come in groups. Along with the taking drugs come alcohol abuse or excessive smoking, or comes violence, right? So all the things come along with it. They are usually not single. They are not usually single. They come in groups. You know, typically most of the people who are struggling with addictions have one addictive high firing in their brain that makes them susceptible to another addiction. Each addiction impacts the brain and training it to want more and more of that again and again. So the thought is like this. If one addiction feels good, two will feel better. If two feels better, then three will feel great. Do anything to keep that feeling of high coming again and again. So the logic of those who are given to controlling themselves over and over to mood-altering addictions, right? That is what they depend upon. You see, there is a chemical in our brain called dopamine. Okay, dopamine is a feel-good chemical. Dopamine is released when you are feeling happy, when you are feeling satisfied, when you are feeling contented. Dopamine is released into your body. So when a person is sad about a situation and they want to suppress that sadness and increase their good feelings, right? And they do not want to face the difficult feelings, but they want to seek an emotional quick fix, they look to alcohol or to drugs like cocaine and other things, right? So that they can help them feel better. Now, as I said, dopamine is released in our body when you're feeling good, right? Alcohol and cocaine can also increase dopamine in your brain, right? That is why people get addicted to things, right? So how are these addictions formed? It usually starts with a misplaced dependency of a situation or a person or a thing. Most of the times, people who are addicts, they blame a situation in the past or an experience in the past or a failed relationship in the past, right? That is what they will be blaming. Right? So they would be blaming these old relationships or old situations that they've had and use that as an opportunity to get into addictions. So they blame these things, and these are the excuses people give. Some people start with small amounts of substance, right? They become addicted with small amounts of substance. Now others, they take larger quantities in order to become addicted, right? Because of the destructive risk of addiction and unnecessary dangers, you know, the people would be like playing the Russian roulette with these substances. Now, here are some things that they say about addictions. They say, well, I need it in order to make me feel good. I need it to keep me quiet. I need it to relieve my pain. I need it to be more sociable. I need it to forget my failures. I need it to satisfy my cravings. Or people say, I want it because to relax, I want to feel good, I want to have more fun, I want to relieve my stress, I want to be more accepted, I want to escape my situation. My friends, addiction, an unbridled participation in mood-altering activities on a regular basis. That is what addiction is. Addiction is unbridled participation in mood-altering activities on a regular basis. Once an addictive behavior is developed, the cycle that accompanies it becomes established. The situation is like how Paul puts it in Romans chapter 6, verse 19. Romans chapter 6, verse 19, Paul says this, that you let yourselves to be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led into ever deeper sin. In Romans chapter 6, verse 19, he says, I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you have once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness. So you're caught up in this cycle of doing something that is wrong and being dependent on it. You continue on in the cycle. So you do something that is wrong, and that leads to another wrong, and that leads to another wrong, and that leads to another wrong. So one sin leads to another sin, one sin leads to another sin, and that sin leads to another sin. So you're caught up in this and vicious cycle that ensnares you and enslaves you. And those are addictions. But my friend, look at me. Hear this up. This morning, I want to tell you that Jesus Christ can set you free from this vicious cycle. Yes, my friend, I'm talking to you. You can be set free from this vicious cycle of being addicted. In Romans chapter 6, verse 14, Romans chapter 6, verse 14, Paul says this, for sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Hello, my friend, in order to be set free from this cycle of addiction, what you need is the grace of God. To be set free from your sin, you need the grace of God. You need to be under the grace of God to be set free from addictions. My friend, God sent his beloved son, Jesus Christ, his only son, into this world that he might pay the ultimate price to secure complete freedom from sin and the control of sin over our lives. And in that marvelous redemptive act, he has given us the power to break free of any bondage that is destructive, habits, and any addictions that we have. To be set free from that, God has given us that power. God has done this amazing thing for you. This morning, I want to talk to you about how you can be set free from your addictions. You can be set free from habitual sins. You can be set free from those things that are there hidden in your heart. I want to tell you, number one, you must surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Your part this morning is to give complete control of your life and entrust yourself to Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 to 26, Jesus Christ says this, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Who wants to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you must deny yourself and take up the cross and follow Jesus Christ. The moment you choose to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and trusting your life to him, he gives you this power to live fulfilled life as God has planned for you. I want to say few practical things for you in order to be set free from addictions. Number one, we said surrender. Surrender. Number two, start. Start with the commitment to truth, admitting that habit which God wants you to change. Believe that God wants only what is best for you. Believe that God has the desire and power to help you. Believe that God is faithful, perfect, good, and just. And decide, my friend, because today is the day of salvation. You can stop your addiction. You can stop your bad habit. You can stop your the one that is enslaving you, the habit that is enslaving you just today, because today is the day of salvation. Whatever bad habit you have, you can stop that today, and you can commit yourself to the truth. Number three, separate your sinful habit. Separate your sinful habit. Write out what it is costing you, right? Every habit is going to cost you something. Every bad habit is going to cost you even more. And it will be even more costful to those who are around you if it becomes violent, right? So repent, change your thinking, confess your habit as sinful, right? Realize that yielding to your habit makes you a slave to sin, right? Review the negative consequences of your habit regularly. You know, a great verse to memorize is Psalm 1, right? You can memorize Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, right? To say no, and to say no to yourself, and to say no to others is very, very important if you want to stop the bad habit. For example, if you have the bad habit of biting your nails, you want to say, no, I am going to stop. I will take control of this bad habit. Or if you are addicted to alcohol or smoking or taking drugs, to say, no, I am going to confess this bad habit, right? To separate myself from that sinful habit, right? Or if somebody offers you a drink, you say, no, thank you, I do not drink. Or if somebody offers you something, you say, no, thank you, I quit smoking, I have stopped using these drugs. No, saying no is very, very important. Number four, set a new goal. Set a new goal. Picture yourself establishing the new habit. Make it your goal to be empowered by God. Make it your goal to please God. Make it your goal to be an overcomer. Make it your goal to be dependent on God. Make it your goal to do the will of God. You know, you can pray daily for victory. It is through prayer that God protects you. So set your new goal. Set up a new goal. You can, instead of spending time taking these drugs or spending all your resources on these addictions, take that time, replace that with pleasing God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 to 10, Paul says this, that whether we are at home in the body or away from it, we must all appear to before the judgment seat of Christ. And that's why he says, we make our goal to please him. Our goal is to please God, right? So number four, set a new goal. Number five, stand on truth. Stand on truth. Know that in Christ you are set free from the penalty of sin. Know that in Christ you are set free from the power of sin. Know that in Christ you are dead to sin. Know that in Christ you are no longer a slave to sin. See, read your Bible every day in order to get strength from God. In Psalm 119, verse 28, the psalmist says, my soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Strengthen me according to your word. My friend, stand in this truth that the word of God is there to strengthen you. And the time of when you are tempted, when you say, I am set free from the power of sin. Sin is dead to me. I am no longer a slave to sin, but I am a slave of Jesus Christ. That brings us to the next point. Substitute God's thoughts for your thoughts. Identify your weak points. When you are tempted by a habit, Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you tempted. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But you, when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. My friend, God will provide a way for you to be rescued from that temptation. Right? So substitute your thoughts with God's thoughts. Right? And when you think you are powerless over a habit, right? You can use verses like Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Sometimes, oftentimes, when we talk about addicts, they always complain about lacking that willpower, lacking that strength to say no. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29, it says, He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak, right? And when you think you had a habit for too long, that your drinking habit, your smoking habit has been there for too long, you can always claim. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is become a new creation. The old is gone, the new is here. You say, no, I am a new creation in Jesus Christ. I do not have to yield to sin anymore. I do not have to be a slave to sin anymore, but I can live by the power of Jesus Christ. My friend, I want to close off with the last couple of things. Which point are we in? Point number seven. Stay on track. Stay on track. You know, participating your good habits, right? You're participating, saying no to the bad habits, right? Or, you know, you can put a time for the next 3 months, I'm going to have the new habit, the good habit of saying no to buying cigarettes or buying alcohol. I will say no to these things, right? You know, staying on track, that you would control yourself, right? Basically, when we are talking about staying on track, we are talking about self-control, right? Saying no, saying and restricting your opportunities to be tempted with these habits, right? So stay on track. And you can also stay on track the positive way by having a new habit, a good habit, right? You can say every 2 months, I'm going to develop a new good habit, right? So you avoid thinking a negative stuff. You avoid thinking all about your failures, but you think about the positive things. You think about the grace of God in your life. You think about all the blessings that God has given to you in your life. Point number eight this morning, share. Share your plan with an accountability partner. Share your plan to, first of all, you're going to share your plan to God, but you must also share your plan to a friend or somebody who will help you stay in the course so that you are no longer a slave to these addictions, right? It is very important that you enlist the help of a mature Christian to help strengthen and support you in your efforts and to correct you when you go off the course. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22, it says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. So you need, with good advice, you can have success. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. See, you need a friend. You need an accountability partner that will sharpen you, that will help you stay the course. My friend, it is very, very important that you have an accountability partner. I hope this helps you to take control of the addictions and deal with these addictions in a biblical way. So I'm going to close with a reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. Hello? My friend, look at me. I'm talking to you. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. My friend, having a good habit, being set free from the bad habits and addictions is possible when you learn and realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and that God is dwelling in you, that you have received the Spirit of the Lord, right? That your body does not belong to you. So you do not get the opportunity to abuse it. You cannot abuse your body. You cannot use your body the way you think you can, right? It does not belong to you, right? Your body belongs to Jesus Christ. Your body belongs to God. Your body belongs to the Holy Spirit who is dwelling in you. So, my friend, set boundaries, set barriers to protect and from any external harm. Guard against it. All right. You want to protect your body both from external harm and from internal harm as well. Right. Those who are involved with some struggling addiction, some dependency, need to learn to set appropriate limits and they need to say no to certain things. And this morning, I want to tell those people who are also dealing with the people who are addicted. Okay. If you have a family member or if you have a friend who is into addictions, whether it is drinking, smoking, or drug abuse or other things, you know, we spoke about other things, overeating or not eating, right? Anorexia is also a disruptive behavior. It could be lying, it could be envy, it could be jealousy, or it could be, very annoying habits that sometimes people have, right? You know, sometimes people have this habit of just clicking the pen, tick, 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 tick. You know, it's very annoying. It might not harm, but it's very annoying. So if you are dealing with people like that, and especially if you are dealing with hard habits, such as drug abuse, as alcohol. Now, I want to give you a couple of guidelines from the Bible before we close this morning. It is very important for you to set boundaries for that person, right? These boundaries, the appropriate boundaries around that person will guard that person, the one who is addicted, and will also guard you. It will prevent you from taking excessive responsibilities that belong to the other person. Now, I want to tell you, a husband's drinking problem is not the wife's problem. A husband's addiction to drugs is not the wife's problem. It is his problem. It has to do with his heart. It has to do with where he stands before God, right? As a loved one, as a partner, you must pray for that person, but also you must set boundaries for that person. And you must be very clear about these boundaries. There are certain non-negotiable boundaries that will help break the drug reliance, that will help break the dependency on substances, right? Usually addicts, they need emotional support, all right? So it is very important that you consistently reinforce responsible choices and enforce the repercussions of irresponsible actions, right? So you provide an opportunity to make positive changes, right? So as a Christian, as you know, it is very important that you protect that person, but you also protect yourself. And if you have kids involved, it's very important that you protect them as well, right? No situation, no abuse, drug abuse or addiction is a justifiable means for any violence, right? We always find those who, as I said, addictions come in groups. They do not come single. They come in groups, right? Along with addictions come, like say somebody who's given into alcohol, right? Somebody who's a drunkard, right? What follows along with it? Violence, right? We always find that violence follows after that, right? So a person cannot make excuses for violence saying, well, I was drunk. That is not an excuse, right? Even by the law, it is not an excuse, right? You cannot be drunk and driving and kill somebody while you are driving and then say, well, I was drunk. I did not know, right? You cannot say that. So it's very important to set boundaries when you are dealing with an addicted person. So we can discuss further on these things. And I'm sure all of you have some great points to share about how we can deal with a person. And some of you actually had an experience of dealing with an addicted person and helped them get better as well. And I would like to hear from you as well this morning. So I want to close off with this. And I want to say, my friend, you have the power by the grace of God to overcome bad habits and to overcome addictions and to be victorious and to live a life that God has planned for you. Amen. And thank you for listening. Let's close with prayer. Father, we want to thank you so much for this time that you have given to us to go through the scriptures and find verses, God, to speak on this topic of habits and addictions. We want to thank you, God, that you have addressed the things that are there in our hearts. And this morning, God, we pray like David prayed. We pray, God, search our hearts. Find if there is any iniquity in us. If there are things that are hidden. If there are heart issues, God, we pray that you'd bring those things into light. And we pray, Father, if any one of us have these addictions, these bad habits, we pray, Father, that you would help us to overcome. And we plead for your mercy. We plead for your grace. And we come before your throne of grace and request your help in time of need. And God, we pray that through your grace, that you would cleanse our hearts, that you would forgive our sins. And God, we want to confess our sins before you this morning. All the times that we have given to our habits, all the times we have been enslaved by sin, we come before you. We acknowledge our sin. We confess that before you, God. And we pray that you would cleanse our hearts, cleanse our conscience, cleanse our mind, cleanse our soul, cleanse our thoughts. God, cleanse everything that is in us and make us pure. And we want to thank you that such forgiveness is available in you. And God, this morning, if there is anybody who's struggling, we pray, Father, that you would strengthen them by faith. And we want to thank you and we want to praise you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, into this world who died for us on the cross, who paid the penalty of our sin. He died and he rose up on the third day. And God, who is going to come back to this earth very soon, and we see the signs of his return very clearly in these times. We pray, Father, that you'd help us to be fervent, that you'd help us to be faithful to you, God. And we pray, Father, for those of us who are working with those people who are enslaved to sin. We pray, God, that you'd give us wisdom. We pray, God, that you would give us strength. We pray, God, that you would give us understanding so that we may be able to guide these people, that we may be able to lead them to you, God, we pray. And we pray, Father, that your hand would be upon each one of us who's gathered here this morning. And God, we pray for our families, for our relatives, for all those people that we know, our friends, God. And we pray, God, that you would continue to help us to be good witnesses among them and help us, God, to share your word with them. And we pray, Father, that you would bless each one of us this morning, God. And we pray for each one who gathered here this morning We want to thank you for Garima, who is able to join this today for the first time. And God, we pray that you bless Amit and Garima together as a family, and God, as a couple. And we pray, God, that you would be with them and continue to show your mercy to them and continue to lead them and guide them, Father, we pray. And we want to thank you for each and every single person who joined us online as well, God. And we pray, God, we commit our rest of the week into your hands. And we pray, Father, for those who could not join this morning. And whatever reason, whatever habit they are forming by not attending the church, and we pray, God, that you would rebuke them, that you would convict them in their hearts, that you would help them, God, to be to find the need to come before you, to follow your pattern, and God, to be in the church, to be gathered together as you, with your people, God, to worship you, to hear from your word, and to pray to you, God. We pray that you would help them to be gathered next Sunday, Father. We pray for all those who could not join because of various reasons. We pray, Father, that you would help them resolve their situations, that you would help them get good internet, get good electricity, and Father, take away all the distractions from them. And we just thank you, and we want to praise you. We want to thank you for the word that you've given to us. And as we are about to have some fellowship, we pray, God, that you continue to speak with us. And until we meet again next Thursday or on Sunday, we pray, God, that you'd help us to be filled with your Holy Spirit. And God, help us to live as good witnesses of Jesus Christ and his return. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And thank you for listening. Just going to open up a couple of minutes for any questions or any comments that you want to make. Feel free to unmute yourself and let us know your comments or questions.